Good morning, folks. It's Luke Clayton, and welcome to Campfire Talk with Larry Wysoon and myself. Larry and I have been bringing Campfire Talk to you now for over 8 years, and trust me, it's as much fun today as when we first kicked it off. Campfire Talk is brought to us by the Dallas Safari Club, Texas Wildlife Association, Sitemark, maker of the Photon XT and the Photon RT, Kuby Sausage House and Wild Game Processing in Dallas, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge, Larry's TV show, Dallas Safari Club's Trailing the Hunter's Moon, and Striper Express up on Lake Texoma. Well, I do see Mr. Wysoon across the campfire. Merry Christmas to you, Larry.
Well, the Merry Christmas to you and everybody else out there. You know, these campfires are pretty important as far as I'm concerned. For a lot of different reasons, for the warmth aspect of feeling the warmth, but also I think from an emotional sometimes and psychological standpoint, these campfires are important. I've been spending a bunch of time, and here's the last little bit where it was a little bit on the cold side. I was up in Canada there in Alberta with hunting with Ron Nemechek's North River Outfitters, and I think the warmest it got while I was there was about 22, and the lowest was probably about 8 or 9 kind of thing. So that campfire feels good for lots of reasons.
Oh, boy. You know, I've got a buddy, Bryce Liddell, that owns Squatakin Lake Lodge, you know, up there in northern Saskatchewan, up there, not too far from the Northwest Territories, really, but I've never been there in that time of the year, but I go up and fishing in June, you know, and he says, oh, 3 or 4 weeks ago it was iced up, you know. And he goes, I could not imagine. His lodge is, Larry's on an island there in this lake, which is Churchill River runs through that general area, and it's a tributary off the Churchill. But he goes up and takes a snowmobile. I think it's like 22 miles in the winter. And I asked him, I said, he's an old bush pilot, too, and a guide, Bryce is. He's guided years up in the North Country. I said, you know, this is totally foreign to me, Bryce. How do you find your way? I mean, it's just a barren, you know, I mean,
it is.
It's ice.
Well, it is. Anyway.
I can picture it in the winter. And he says, well, I used to run compass and then GPS. And he says, now I don't use anything. I've just got a cell phone with me in case, you know. And I said, well, what if you're halfway through that trip, you know, 15 miles from anybody, and you have problems? He said, well, I'm always ready, Luke. He said, I've got plenty of ways to start a fire and blankets. And, you know, he said, I'm ready. I told him, I said, it would be, if you sent me on that excursion, it would be like sending me to the moon, you know. But he grew up doing it. You know?
I've got a feeling you'd be pretty prepared when you get in that kind of situation as well, too. I mean, that's the thing about it. I used to get tickled, and I've written several articles in the past, with columns, things about with a title of weather permitting, where you get up into that North Country, particularly if you're there with a plane, you know, where the bush plane drops you off or something like that. When the weather gets bad, that bush plane probably is not going to fly. So I always told my wife when I left, I will be home by such and such a time, weather permitting, by golly, because you never knew for sure whether you're going to be able to get out on the time when you're supposed to. But those guys are amazing that live up there in that area and that guide. And I mean, like, Ron's born and raised up there, and I've known him and hunted with him for a long, long time. Years ago, he's done a lot with him. I hadn't hunted with him, the first time I hunted with him in a long time. We'll tell that story about our hunt a little bit later sometime. But when it's really cold down here, maybe one of these days. But, you know, those guys, even when they go out in the vehicle, I mean, they have got sleeping bags, they've got extra food, they've got extra fuel, they've got extra equipment that they might need in case the truck breaks down, and it's just a way of life up there, you know, of being totally prepared for whatever might be thrown at you.
It is. It's amazing. One thing, you know, I've never hunted, Larry, in Alberta, but I've hunted up Devil's Lake, north of Jamestown, North Dakota, northern North Dakota.
Very similar in terms of cold.
I think from where I was hunting there, the U.S. Canadian border is like 25 miles, you know. So
it's very close.
Beautiful country, though. And when I was deer hunting all the time up in North Dakota is what I did. I had a outfitter buddy that they had big farm country up there, too. And I'd go up about 5 years straight. I'd fly up there to land in Bismarck, and it was about 80 miles from there, you know, to a drive out there to their place. But just absolutely loved it. And, you know, they told me that it wasn't a regular event, but, you know, that's farm country up there in pothole region, you know, for waterfowl. And they said it wasn't uncommon at all. Occasionally, they'd seen moose coming down out of Alberta, just out in the farm country, you know. Have you ever witnessed anything like that, Larry?
Yeah, I have. I mean, up there in Saskatchewan, particularly in southern part of Saskatchewan and southern part of Alberta, I mean, there's a fair number of moose scattered all over that country. And you get the right conditions, and, I mean, they travel south, too, just primarily looking for food. And then, see, a lot of times you'll have young bulls that are 2 and 3 year old bulls that kind of got kicked out of the area where the older bulls are, and they go to roaming looking for cows. So, yeah, it does happen. I mean, it doesn't happen, you know, a whole lot of times, but it's one of those things you can almost expect happening every year, though.
Yeah, and as far as the body size on whitetail, I know that the farther north you get, as a rule, the bigger the genetics. They just have to be big, I guess, to survive those winters. But some big old bucks up there in northern North Dakota, and I know what's up in Alberta, you know. I mean,
well, you know, you're right. I mean, the things have changed over the years. I mean, there was a time, as far as antlers, now you could go up there and you could expect to kill just an absolute monster. Now there's been a little bit more hunting pressure put in some of those areas. Of course, where Ron's country is he's hunting right on the edge of provincial forest, and where the farmland meets provincial forest, so the deer have a little bit more food. But you're right, it's not uncommon for those deer to weigh 300 pounds or better on the hoof. And I mean, you know, you shoot a big old deer down here in Texas and he weighs 200 pounds, and, you know, you go, oh my gosh, or maybe 100, 225. But you add that extra 50 to 100 to 75 pounds on a deer, and it makes look like almost like a, you know, yearling steer. And,
yeah.
But I would tell you this much, too. The meat from up there is absolutely fantastic. Those whitetail up there, you talk about good eating. Pretty good.
Tasty. Yeah, the biggest I never did kill a big antlered buck up there. I hunted about either 4 or 5 years, and this has been, 6 or 7 years ago when I last was up there.
Right.
244, we killed a buck that weighed 244. And he, I guess, well, you know what, with before he was field dressed, that rascal would have been up there probably close to three. Yeah, but
he's been real close to three.
He didn't have a great big rack in comparison. You know, he's probably a 130 class deer, but
yeah,
he had been eating all that grain, you know, up there in that country. But yeah, that's a place to kill a big one. Closer to home, Larry, of course, we're into mid-December now, and the rut down in South Texas is going. It always is a little bit later down there. I know that, but up here, the rest of the state, North Texas, East Texas, it's not over yet. I mean, I've killed some good late-season bucks, and I guess the does, the younger does that are maybe now 7 months old or whatever that come into estrus the first time, a lot of people call it a second rut. I know it's the same rut, but some of those old big bucks can still be up moving, can't they?
You're exactly right. And, I mean, in a good situation, particularly like we are this year, I mean, we had a really good acorn crop. We had a good fawn crop. There's been a lot of food for those young does. And they will have their first estrus period when they're like 6.5, 7 months of age. And they're right at that age right now, I mean, to where it's going into December, or having gone into December and even going into the early part of January, it's not uncommon for there to be a big old buck out there chasing those younger does. And that happens pretty much throughout from about Central Texas on north. And it happens everywhere. But the farther south, like you mentioned, I'm gonna try to slip away to visit with a friend of mine down in Starr County here in about a day or two, and see if I can get one of those little bucks on the properties that they have. So the rut there is just really starting to kick in. But again, there's some fabulous hunting to be had, and a lot of those old bucks got by early that maybe were hiding, you know, now they're back on the prowl again after those younger does. It's a good time to be out there hunting and still have an excellent chance of taking a really good old mature buck.
It is. Well, I know, you know, it's a lot of people get off around Christmas to hunt, and it's one of my favorite times. Larry, I do want to mention to all of our listeners, our hog hunt that's coming up, and we have locked in.
Amen.
It's up at Choctaw Hunting Lodge. From Parrish, Texas, you can be there in, what, an hour and 20 minutes, maybe a little less than that. But it's
yeah, about from same thing about from Dallas area. I'm, you can be in 2 hours from Dallas
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, so from Hugo, it's not far west. It's not.
No, it's about an hour out of Durant. So
that's right.
Well, see if you go straight north.
Yep. So we've locked in a date for this, folks. It'll be March the 15th in ChoctawHuntingLodge.com. It's a hog hunt, and it's an economically priced deal, but it's going to be fun. You get up there with us. Larry will be there, and I'll be there. And we're going to make it fun, and there's lots and lots of hogs. Larry, I guess the best way, if they want anybody interested in hunting with us, ultimately, I'll hook you up with Travis Benis, who's the manager on the place up there, you know, at the Choctaw Hunting Lodge. But you can contact me directly through catfishradio.org, catfishradio.org now. And I promise I'll get back with you and fill you in on the details. And I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun, Larry.
I'll tell you what, we're going to eat good. That's a fabulous lodge. There's lots of hogs, and it will. The one thing I can guarantee is we will have fun, and we're going to eat good. And I know that a lot of hogs like
that. And you may just have an occasional story. Who knows? I may come up. I've got lots of them, too, Larry.
You got a story or two you might want to tell around the campfire?
Mike could scratch one up, yeah.
I'll be darned. How about that?
That surprised you, didn't it? Okay, well, we are out of time, Larry. Christmas is less than 2 weeks away. Hope you and your family, you know, we'll talk again next week. But I know it's time to make plans to get with the family around Christmas and wish everybody a Merry Christmas, you know?
Yes, sir, we do. Wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and we'll see the whole lot of folks there at DSC's convention about mid-January.
Folks, if you're a shooter, I need to hook you up with Hunter Supply. Now, Hunter Supply provides quality cast lead bullets for every facet of the shooting world, from target shooting to hunting. Hunter Supply bullets have been put to the test all over the world. They've taken a Big Five in Africa, as well as a lot of moose and grizzly bear in North America. Single action cowboy shooters get their bullets from Hunter Supply, as well as air rifle shooters. You can go online to huntersupply.com and check them out. When you make an order, you need to be aware that the shipping is included in the price of the bullets.
Folks, for about the past 18 months, I've been using a Photon XT by Sightmark. It's a night hunting scope, and you can use it during the daytime, too. Absolutely awesome for hunting hogs. I probably kill 20 or 25 hogs using the Photon XT, and I shoot hogs at ranges of 100 yards and less. Now, it's not thermal. You won't be shooting 300 or 400 yards with it, but for most of us, and especially for the price, it is awesome. Now, the Photon RT is out now, and it has a camera mode sound on it. For a few hundred bucks more, you can get that model. I am just putting it to work, and so far I really like what I found. But just go to sightmark.com and check them out. Folks, if you're in the market for a new feeder, I want to hook you up with my buddy Carl Harmon that owns Ultramatic Feeders. You can go online to ultramaticfeeders.com or simply give Carl a call, 877-428-4637. Carl makes some awesome feeders. I've got one that I've had in the woods either 9 or 10 years, and all I've had to do is replace the battery about every 3 years on it. Again, that's ultramaticfeeders.com. Folks, this is Luke. I want to introduce you to an awesome line of lifetime hunting blinds, Cantex hunting blinds. You can go online to cantexdeerblinds.com. There's an online store there. And if you really want to get in one of them and check them out, they're headquartered right outside of Kaufman, Texas, just a few miles outside from downtown Kaufman. But the website, again, is cantexdeerblinds.com. And there's phone numbers and everything, all your contact information there. Check it out and then give Richard a call over there at Cantex. He'll put you in a blind that you won't have to worry about.